All right. We're in Psalm 62 through January. We were talking about, I wait quietly before God. And we talked the first week about the challenges of just that sentence. How do you wait quietly in this day and age? In January, it's a little bit easier. Well, I think it's a little bit easier. You might not think it's easier. But to pause, to have time, to stop, to reflect, to surrender my agenda and just let God speak and minister to me. It's not a habit that many of us have. Well, I think in my, you know, meanderings around in relationship with people across the life of the church, I know it's a struggle for most of us to make the time to let God set the agenda for our time with Him, to wait quietly before God. We'll pick it up from last week, I wasn't here, Ads gave to us, people are different, and we find that place with God, with our Father, in different ways. Some of us are in music, some of us like nature, some of us like solitude and silence. And there's, if you haven't heard Ad's sermon, go back and listen to that. Just like, oh, maybe this is me or that's me, and just get started. Try something of being alone with God, carving the time out to let God minister to us and speak to us. We'll pick it up from verse 5 in Psalm 62, just to remind ourselves of the main thing that David is trying to communicate to everyone that he gives this song to. He's a songwriter for the whole community. Everybody, sing this song. Get this experience. Know this truth. Let's echo this together, where he says, let all that I am, but by the way, he's just done a rant on how terrible life is. All these people are trying to kill me and they hate me and they say terrible things about me and there's rumors flying around and people just want my destruction. The world is against me. All of his fears and anxieties and problems and his overwhelmedness, if that's a word. He's in that space. And then there's this pause and he says, let all that I am wait quietly before God. For my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. My fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and my honor come from God alone. He's my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. Now David goes into what I think is just blindingly, confrontingly beautiful perspective on how we see life when we are centered in God's presence. Listen to this perspective. Verse 9. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind, and the powerful are not what they appear to be. If you weigh them on the scales, together they are lighter than a breath of air. What does that mean? Because I know that the Bible doesn't, like, you couldn't say God says people are worthless. Like, who would say that? You wouldn't say that. Jesus said, you know, your Father knows even when the sparrow falls, and you are worth more than many sparrows. Psalm 139, when the psalmist says how fearfully and wonderfully made we are, he says these words, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. The more than the grains of the sand are your thoughts about me, God. So I went back to the Hebrew for this, and I use the New Living Translation normally, but they mangled this verse. So this might be the only time I utter this sentence ever. The King James Version does a better job of this. So here's how it reads in the New King James, which is truer to the text. Surely people of low degree are a vapor. People of high degree are a lie. If you weigh them on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. That word vapor is the same Hebrew word used through Ecclesiastes to describe how meaningless life is. that, you know, all is vanity, all is vapor, all is meaningless. Surely people of high degree are a vapor, and people of low degree are a vapor, people of high degree are a lie. So David's praying. I love this picture. God, you are all these things. He's recognizing that space. He's leading us to recognize that space. The Holy Spirit this morning is leading us to recognize this space. God, you are my hope and my victory and my salvation and my rock and my refuge and my safety and my security and my future. And you are everything, God. And people around me, surely it's just, they're like, oh. And David's imagining these scales. Here's some scales in front of me, God. And they weigh the value of my life and the what I should give weight to in terms of how I move forward in my life. What I should listen to and pay attention to and strive for and want and respect and honor and all of this. That's what I'm looking at now, these scales of my life. And I'm thinking all these people of low regard around me, the common people, the people who are going to press the button that says like on my social media feed, the random people I walk past on the street, the people I hardly know, like those people of low degree. Now, it's not low degree and high degree, it's subjective. It's how my heart sees people, right? So the people I see as low degree in my life, surely I put all of their opinion and all of their kind of regard and their example and how much I want to be like them and how much I want them to notice me and all of that weight that I give to those people, and I put that on this scale of what matters, and it just, it's empty. It's meaningless. It's vapor. Surely people of low degree are like vapor. And people of high degree, that's harder, because these are the people that I value, that I like, that I want to emulate, that I want the regard of. And I'm thinking about, you know, I want that, what they do. I want to be as rich as them. I want to be as popular as them. I want to be as talented as them. I want to be as recognized as them. And what I want is, I want their attention. I want to be noticed by them. I want their regard. I want to be welcomed into that space with them, and I want to be one of them. That's the, and that, so I reference my life off those people. Now, if money is your scorecard, you might look at people who are richer than you, more entrepreneurial than you, more successful than you in a finance space, and go, that's what I reference my life off. I compare myself not to the people of low regard, but to the people I hold in high regard, those people who know more, whose opinion matters more, whose example matters more in my life. My hope is that I can be there. So I'm going to emulate and be guided by those people. So that feels a little heavier in my hands as I come before God. But David's saying, so the people of high regard, I put all of that on the scale, and it goes, it's a lie. Maybe the high regard for you isn't about money. Maybe the high regard for us is about the people who are champions for the things that matter to us, the people who think the way we think, the people who agree with our viewpoint. You know, the right-wing activists that go, ah, and we go, yeah, that's us too. Or the left-wing activists that go, it's got to be like this, and we go, yeah. Right, so we find them, you know, and we can find them. You can find your tribe anywhere online now and just be validated for your experience of life. And you say the way they think and that kind of perspective on life, that's what I'm chasing. That's what I want. These people are my influencers and my heroes and the ones I want to emulate and the ones whose respect I want, actually, those people. And you take all of that to these scales and it just goes, it's a lie. People are not to be trusted. Not in the sense of this is how I'm going to find victory and hope and security and safety. It's not in people. It's not in your leaders. It's not in your parents. It's not in your teachers. It's not in your politicians. We already knew that. But it's not in the activists. It's not in your social media space. People won't deliver hope and security for you. or for me? David's recognizing this. He's saying, oh, the people of low position are a vapor. The people of high regard, that's a lie. It's a lie. Because all of them go on the scales together and they're lighter than vapor. There isn't one person that I can think about in the whole world ever who's going to shift these scales for me. Not Elon Musk. Not Lionel Messi. Not any famous actor or... No one is going to shift those scales for me. People are like vapor when it comes to what I'm chasing and what I want and who I am. Living in this reality is so freeing and so beautiful. And maybe you're going like, oh, I don't know. It feels weird. Imagine just walking around in your life knowing everybody... Like, you're important, but you're not more important. We're all important. Like, every person matters the same. And I don't get my hope or my security from you. I don't need to take anything from you to validate me. I have what I need in this beautiful relationship that I have with God. And so I could just be selfless to you and to you and to you. And it doesn't matter if you're homeless or a millionaire. It doesn't matter. Because you're like vapor in terms of the worth that comes to me. From you, I get that vertically. So beautiful. So hard to live that way because society is screaming all the other messages at us about how we should reference our lives and validate our lives and who we should model off and who we should seek for hope. So the only way we get this perspective is what? I wait quietly before God. With my whole being, I wait quietly before God. So that I remember and I understand this perspective. The song goes on. Don't make your living by extortion or put your hope in stealing. And if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. So we're in this space of like, God's the only refuge and the only hope and the only victory and the only, reference for my life. God is the one who gives me everything that I need. God is the one who's my resource and the only win in my life possibly is Him. So, why would I take money off somebody else? Extortion just means, you're going to use your influence, whatever it is, to exact resources away from people, who you're in power over in some way. That isn't just like a protection racket, where you're going in and beating people up unless they pay your money kind of thing. Extortion can be done very legally. And here's the encouragement to our hearts. Don't make money by ripping it off people. No matter how legal it is. They're people. They matter as much as you do. And don't put your hope in stealing. Don't fudge your taxes. I know it's tempting. Or don't take things that don't belong to you. Those things are a little bit easier for us to understand. This next one is harder. If your wealth increases, we live in Australia, so this is everyone. If your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. What does that mean practically? Danny, give me some examples, you might say, of how much should I have and how much shouldn't I have? We've talked about this before. This isn't a matter of amounts. It's a matter of your heart attitude, and specifically what I will trust in. Does your money give you your sense of security and your hope and your future? David's saying in this space before God, I want God to be my security and my hope. That's the truth. Because money does the same thing as this other thing, which is just it's gone. It's fleeting. It's meaningless. God is my security and my hope and my future. Don't make it the center of your life. I don't know what it means for you. I've watched some people very dramatically take this principle and go, I'm not going to. People who have had an income hike, you know, where you were earning 80 grand a year and all of a sudden you're earning 300 or whatever. And they've just got one person, actually, who's gone like, I'm worried for my heart. Because the problem when you've got money and you can accumulate money is that you're tempted to trust it and to depend on it for your hope and your security and your future. Anyway, this guy, this family, I'm worried for my heart, so I will only take 80. And from the get-go, I'll just give the rest away. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that. I just think that's beautiful. Don't make it the center of your life. Other people in our community, I know, earn way more money than they keep, and they just, because of this, because of, oh, I want you, God. And I know this is all a gift from you. I know my intelligence is a gift from you. My physical capacity is a gift from you. My life is a gift from you. Every breath I breathe is given to me by you, God. My opportunities, my education, my family, the environment that I live in, the country that I, you know, the company that I, all of that, God, is you. And I don't want to be greedy. I want to honor you with the opportunities you've given me. And people are giving away lots of money because God is the center of their life. So, it's gone quiet. I think I'm trying to go, how do I help myself understand this and how do I help our people understand this? Don't make it the center of your life. Think, I want to give. I was going to save up for this, but instead I'll give it away. Have that thought. The thing that you're thinking, I'll buy that soon. Just think, no, I'll give it away. If that sounds like fun to you, then you're probably okay. If it's like me, if you go, oh, that's a wrench, then just pull back a bit and give something smaller away until it sounds like fun to you to go bigger. You with me? Don't make it the center of your life. Tomorrow is in God's hands. Your future is in God's hands. He's not depending on you to provide. You know, it might be prudent, and in your relationship with God, and I think it is, in this country you can make money, so you should, you know, put things away and whatever. I'm not knocking savings and stuff like that. It's a challenge to our hearts, isn't it? So just do it before God. God, I don't want this to be the center of my life, so what do you want me to do? I just want to trust you. I don't want to depend on people. I don't want to depend on resources. I want to depend on you. It is so freeing. It is so freeing to live this way. I've caught some edges of it in my life. I think I'm starting to understand some of it. Oh, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. I want for all of us to live in this space with God where we know tomorrow is entirely God's. Today is entirely God's. I have nothing but God, and He is amazing. A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors, in his little book, The Pursuit of God, does a chapter on the blessedness of possessing nothing. It is, wow. And because the person who possesses nothing has all of heaven. And I want us to trust God like that. It's a beautiful life God offers us. So I commend to you again the habits, the practices of every morning, before you touch your phone, give your life to God. Like, just pause and wait. It only takes a few minutes. This is what I'm doing today, God. I think I give this to you. And let Him speak to you. If you hear something, that's good. If you don't, that's good. Just build the habit. And 3 times a week, at least half an hour. I think if you start this, you'll think half an hour goes too quick. But at least half an hour, sit with God without driving the agenda yourself. Read something, listen to something, look up, like chat aimlessly with God. Give him space to be able to talk to you in whatever works, whatever way works for you. Reference Ad's sermon last week if you want ideas. 3 times a week, half an hour. Try it. And let me know how you go. I'd be really, really interested. Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone's my rock, my salvation, my fortress, where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He's my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. All my people, trust him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Father, even as we pause and breathe here, can you minister to us? Holy Spirit, come. And remind us that all of our hope and our future is you. You are everything we need. Call us to this space, this quiet place with you. Prompt us, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all this week. In this habit of stopping and waiting on you. Thank you for this life, this beautiful life that you give us. In Jesus' name.